Last month, when Kathy and I were in Arkansas, we made our way to Trinity Cathedral in Little Rock on a weekday to say prayers for her sister Susan, who had just died. Trinity is a special place for us, a holy place. I was baptized and confirmed and ordained there. Kathy was confirmed there. We were married there. Our firstborn was baptized there. Kathy's mother is buried there. You get the picture. We're tied to this place. We should all have such special places, holy places to which we can return in times of need. After saying our prayers in a familiar pew, we found ourselves just walking around the cathedral nave to the baptistry and the transepts with their great stained glass windows, into the choir chancel where I sang as a child, and then up to the altar around which I served as an acolyte. The memories were tied to those whom we knew in that place all those years ago, and they served as a cloud of witnesses keeping vigil for us that day. I sat down beside the altar to find the irregularity in the mosaic tiles on the floor that I knew were there. Few people know about it. I've actually included a small photograph in your service leaflet of that mosaic tile pattern of the altar at Trinity Cathedral. That floor was laid in the 1920s, just about the same time this cathedral was being built. But if you notice, at the little cross in the center of that photograph, there is one green tile placed off center. Do you see it there? Just a little off skew. I believe it was intentional, a practice that dates back centuries when artisans would leave an imperfection in their craft, a flaw to remind them and all of us who would engage their artifice of our broken humanity, of our imperfections, of the ways we fall short of the mark. But it has always struck me that these artisans decided to place this mistake directly in front of the altar, not hidden away in some recessed corner out of sight. Clergy and chalice bearers have to walk by it as they go about the liturgical leadership. Those coming up to communion can see the glitch as they stand at the rail to receive bread and wine. I'm grateful for those artisans and for the reminder that when we present ourselves to God, we bring all that we are, and God receives all that we bring, all of who we are. But it takes a particular perspective and a focus of presence to see the misplaced tile. I went 20 years serving in that place before I ever noticed it, stepped on it countless times. But it has become a gift to me, a talisman even, a holy relic. So I look for it now when I return back to Trinity Cathedral. And that holy place is made more special because this symbol speaks truth into my life. This morning, we hear the story of Zacchaeus once again, the usurious tax collector who climbed a tree to see Jesus, and in doing so, got perspective that changed his life. My friend Jane Patterson, who's a New Testament theologian, once wrote that throughout the Gospel of Luke especially, nearly every character is moving across the stage of the story. Someone even going to reach and answer the phone. Nearly every character in the Gospel of Luke is moving across the stage of the story, horizontal movement toward the suffering or those in need or away from them. But Zacchaeus climbs a tree to get a better view. And it's with this vertical movement that he is able to see the whole of humanity before him. Yeah, Jesus in procession, who surely was the center of attention for many that day. But from his perch, perhaps Zacchaeus was also able to see, really see, perhaps for the first time, the blind man leaning against the wall with his hands out. Or the little children at the corner of the alley digging through piles of trash for a morsel of food to assuage their hunger. Or the unemployed men lingering at the edge of the parade, unsure how they were going to supply food for their children that day without work. Do you think it's possible that Zacchaeus was moved with compassion by what he saw, having climbed a bit closer to the perspective that God sees all the time? What changed for him in that moment that enabled Jesus to see Zacchaeus? Were there tears? Was he immobilized by it all, so much to take in? He couldn't come down. But then Jesus calls him by name, Zacchaeus, come down, dear one. So he does. And Jesus honors him by entering his home to share a meal. And it is there that the full conversion unfolds. Zacchaeus has spent a lifetime exploiting his power to hoard his riches. Oh, we may think of him as a cute, plump little man of sweet sentimentality, but he's done some pretty awful things in his life with devastating effect on the people of his town. He has spent a lifetime hiding behind a grim mask of defended authority. But Jesus sees through it somehow and goes and shares a holy meal with a broken man who considers, perhaps for the first time, what it would feel like to release his stranglehold on money. In excitement and wonder, he says he will give away half his wealth. And I can envision him moving horizontally toward the blind man begging, and the hungry little children, and the despairing men who long to work. He becomes a figure of grace moving across the stage of the gospel story. But it doesn't end there. Jesus rejoices. Jesus rejoices as he proclaims salvation has come to Zacchaeus' house that day. Healing has come to Zacchaeus, who was lost but now is found by finding his true self, the one that God could see all along. He just needed to climb a tree to get that perspective. My friends, we share a holy meal here in this special place, this holy place, to be reminded that the healing grace of God is offered us to us this day as well, not in spite of our imperfections that we bring to bear, but in light of them. A misplaced mosaic tile reminds us of that. A pudgy man climbing a tree can too. God can see it all and relentlessly yearns for us to see ourselves with those tender eyes of divine acceptance and hear the voice, the divine voice saying, come down, dear one. Come and hold out your hands, releasing whatever grip you have on less important things. Come and be fed. Come and be healed. For you are a child of God. God who loves you fiercely and is offering salvation to this house today. This house. And Jesus says, come, dear one.